Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Americans throw away a lot of stuff, as if you didn't know. We make up only about 5% of the world's population, but generate 30% of the world's trash. And much of that waste is discarded food. Our next guest says that every day, America wastes enough food to fill the Rose Bowl. You know, that football stadium that seats 90,000 people. Jonathan Bloom is here to talk about the nearly 200 pounds of food each individual American throws away every year and why that's a big problem. He's the author of a new book called American Wasteland, How America Throws Away Nearly Half of Its Food and What We Can Do About It. And he blogs at wastedfood.com. Jonathan, welcome to WNYC.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So we heard the stats, but what are the consequences of throwing out so much food? I mean, I know it sounds bad just, you know, as a basic matter of ethics, but why should we worry about this?
Well, yeah, aside from the ethical reasons, there are tremendous environmental consequences to our waste, and primarily it's the methane that comes from landfill when we send food there, and then also all the energy that goes into growing, harvesting, shipping, and even cooling these foods, and then that goes for naught when we just throw them out. So there's a recent study that says about 2% of all U.S. energy consumption goes into growing food that's ultimately thrown away. And I think that's a bit of an underestimate as well.
Where does thrown out food end up? I mean, you talk about environmental consequences, but we think of food as organic and biodegradable. We might not throw a wrapper by the side of the road, but we might throw an apple core and think that's okay.
Sure. Well, the problem comes when we pile that food up in a landfill and it rots without oxygen. So that anaerobic decomposition leads to the methane emissions that ultimately causes global warming.
It's hard to even picture 197 pounds of food, but you're right, that is the amount that an average American throws out each year. How does that happen? Is it that we just don't eat as much as we buy at the grocery store? Is this mostly, you know, oversized portions from restaurants being left over? Where for the average American does this 197 pounds of food come from?
Well, it certainly comes from all walks of the food chain. And what I found is that where people can have the most control over this waste is in their own homes. And there was a study that actually in upstate New York that looked at the county's waste. And households were responsible for about 40% of all the food waste created in that county. So there's good news and bad news there. The bad news is that we're pretty darn wasteful. The good news is that we can really have an impact in reducing the amount of waste.
Do you suggest that people try to transfer food somehow to people who need food? There's so much hunger right here in our, you know, in our own city. We know that the food pantry lines and the soup kitchen use has really gone up in the last few years, not to mention the rest of the world. Is it a matter of that?
Well, I mean, certainly that could help. That would probably be more to make the people giving food feel better about not wasting it. I think the wiser solution would be to not buy as much and then maybe donate some of the money that you've saved to all the great nonprofits out there that are working to reduce hunger.
Listeners, we want to hear your take on food waste. Do you have any tips for cutting down on the amount of food that people throw out? Do you have any food waste stories of your own? How about all the carbo loading you did before the marathon on Saturday? How much pasta did you throw out at the end of that? Do you keep milk a day or two past the expiration date? You have a compost bin in your apartment or your building? Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or leave a comment online. Go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show to talk about food waste with Jonathan Bloom, author of American Wasteland, How America Throws Away Nearly Half of Its Food, 212-433-9692. Devin, on our comments page, writes, here's a good experiment. From today on, only use what's already in your refrigerator or pantry or cabinets. to prepare your meals. Don't grocery shop again until it's absolutely necessary. He says you'd be surprised at how many meals you can pull out from what you already have on hand. Is that the kind of thing you want people to do, Jonathan?
I think that's a wise idea. There's actually a web initiative that's along those lines. They call it Eating Down the Fridge. And I think just checking what you have on hand before you go shopping will lead to a lot of reduced waste. We often end up buying more than we need, so that's a strategy to reduce that. And one way to not end up with too much food is to shop more frequently, especially for folks in the city. It's probably easier to pull off than everyone in the suburbs. But if you are going to go every week, then I think it's more important to plan out that shopping trip and make a detailed shopping list.
You say that farms even waste food. Some of the loss on food can't be helped, like ruined crops from frost or pests. But you write about a demand for perfect produce as a problem in our society. Talk about that.
Yeah, we have this cult of perfection in our society where we want our food to look beautiful, not only to taste good. And the dark side of that is that so many foods don't make it to the supermarket. They're cast aside somewhere along the way. And there's this tremendous winnowing process for all the foods that don't look quite right. They might not be the right shape or size, or they might have a tiny blemish. And if we were to just recognize that the taste and sustenance could trump beauty, then I think we'd go a long way to reducing the amount of waste in the food chain.
Maybe not true for the farmers market crowd here in the city so much, right?
Well, to be perfectly honest, I think farmers markets are quite progressive because people see that food doesn't have to look perfect. And I often say that ugly fruit has some character to it. It has a little personality compared to what you see in the supermarket that's completely uniform. So I think people who are growing their own food notice that sometimes nature takes a strange course and things look a little funky, but that there's nothing wrong with those pieces of produce.
How about moldy cheese? Does that have a personality? No, I'm kidding. Sherry in Haverstraw, you're on WNYC with Jonathan Bloom. Hello.
Hi. My point, you already made the point that I was going to make, that it's better to shop more often. Most Americans shop just once a week, and they stock up, they buy tons of food, and the lettuce you buy on Monday is going to be bad by Friday. So I'd shop like at least every other day, and I don't even know what I'm going to make more than 2 or 3 days ahead of time. It doesn't make sense to stock up like that, and you're bound to waste something.
Yeah, I used to, thank you, Sherry. I used to like to do that and did it a lot before my wife and I had kids. And then once there were kids, it was just harder. So there are lifestyle challenges to that, right, Jonathan?
There certainly are. I mean, I think whatever works best for people, you'll sort of find your groove with how grocery shopping can work best. The important thing is just to try and keep an eye on what you have in your fridge and in your cupboards and not come home with so much that there's no way that you can avoid waste.
Kiki in Red Hook, you're on WNYC. Hi, Kiki.
Hi, Brian.
What you got?
Well, I just wanted to say that I live in Brooklyn, and I started composting in my hallway, inspired by friends who live in California and have the luxury of having land and property and being able to bring it outside. I wasn't allowed to do it on my fire escape because most landlords don't want you to put things on your fire escape.
So you did it in your hallway.
But I did start composting in my hallway.
Are you popular with your neighbors?
I went to Fairway. I got a utility bucket. It's covered. You bury it with dirt, and it works. There are plenty of things online. If you look it up, a quick Google search will help guide you. However, what I wanted to add, because you guys are having such a compelling discussion about food scraps and composting in an urban environment, and I'm sorry I'm losing my voice, but in Red Hook, where I live, we have community-supported agriculture programs. And through those programs, every community has something like this where you can save your food scraps, and on Saturday morning could be a great family trip. Bring your food scraps down to the farm or to your flower beds or wherever things are being organized in your neighborhood, and then you're supporting the crops for 2011's supported agriculture programs in neighborhoods. So I think that's a great way for people to reduce their consumption or waste, you know.
It's a good holistic way to think about it. And, Jonathan, we're getting a lot of comments on our Facebook page from people wondering, actually, where to find a compost spot in the city. So maybe Kiki has some lessons there. Maybe you want to add some others.
Yeah, I mean, you don't need too much room to compost. There are some contraptions that you can find online to actually indoor compost. And there's one solution called Bokashi, which a lot of urban people might want to look into. But, composting is certainly a really interesting and progressive choice. But I would just warn that the more important thing would be to reduce the amount of waste that you're creating based on all the energy that is going into growing our food.
And Kiki, thank you for your call.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Let's get one more in here. Elaine in Pearl River. Elaine, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi. Yeah, you know, Rockland County had a program through the Master Gardeners where they gave out the earth machines, so I started composting. But an interesting side to that was the fact that when I realized how much stuff I was eating that was, like, in boxes and, like, processed, I found that I was able to really reduce a lot of my consumption just by eating more whole foods, more natural foods. You know, when I started realizing, hey, I don't have much to put in my composter here, it's all paper and stuff, I started, you know, and over the past 2 years, I've just become a better cook. And so now when I'm cooking, I'll actually look and see what's in the refrigerator. Like last night I made chicken soup, so I threw in, I had some extra, you know, extra veg. Everything gets used now rather than in the past before I really knew how to cook the way I do now. It would have just gotten thrown in the trash, which is what, you know, we need to avoid.
That's great. Thank you very much. And before we run out of time, Jonathan, you recommend a smartphone app that will answer the question, is this still good, that we all ask ourselves when looking in the fridge? How would that work?
It gives people an idea on when things will, or how much past the expiration date things will last. And I think we've gotten away from all the food knowledge we had in the past about when things were good, and we've kind of lost the trust that we have in our senses. But I would just recommend that folks not blindly trust expiration dates, because there is a fair amount of caution built into them. So trust your senses. If things might be a little questionable, maybe give a little sniff, or if it comes to it, take a taste, and I think you'll know if things are good or not.
We have another urban composting tip that I think we have time to sneak in here from Paige in Gutenberg, New Jersey. Paige, hi. You live in a high rise?
Yes, I do. And my mother has the luxury. She lives in the suburbs, and she has a compost pile in her backyard, but she gave me a bunch of corn bags. They're like plastic bags, but made from corn. And since I'm a vegetarian, I have a lot of vegetable waste. I put it in the bags, and I put the bags in the freezer, and then I just bring them with me when I go and visit her every once a week or every other week.
Thank you very much. So 30 seconds, Jonathan. Will this do anything about hunger in Africa?
It's related. I think we need to worry about hunger in America first, and we need to think about the environmental consequences of that waste. As you know, the world's related, so it's all one big planet. I think that folks really have a role to play here, and it's not terribly difficult. It's not the biggest social problem America faces, food waste, but I think it's the easiest to impact.
Jonathan Bloom blogs at wastedfood.com and is now the author of American Wasteland, How America Throws Away Nearly Half of Its Food and What We Can Do About It. Thanks for coming on with us.
Thanks for having me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.